kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
I'm here. I tried to kill my computer today, but I fixed it, so I'm here.
You tried to kill your computer?
It was an accident.
I made a mistake. No, you just said you tried.
Well,
that's premeditated.
Yeah, that's premeditated. That's effort. Chris agrees with me. Chris Taylor's here. Pernell Vaughn's here. Everyone, we're in agreement. You tried to murder your computer. Why?
Well, it was stuttering, and the internet said, check your RAM speed, and so I checked my RAM speed, and I'm like, oh no, I have super fast RAM, but it's telling me I don't. Somewhere, something decided I didn't have super fast RAM, even though I do have super fast RAM. So the internet's like, oh, go into your BIOS and change it to the super fast RAM speed. And I was like, derp, easy peasy. And so I did it.
That's exactly what you did.
Exactly. And so, to the T. And I did it. And then my computer was like, noping the fuck out. And it wouldn't post. And it wouldn't come on. And I had a strange yellow light on my motherboard that was not there before.
Well, you don't want to do it in post. That's the big problem. Don't do it in post ever.
So the whole thing, like, I don't know. It just decided to turn into a $1,500 brick at that point.
Damn.
Oof.
And I had to get in there, and I needed to pop the CMOS battery out and flash the BIOS. And the problem is that I have a big-ass graphics card that's right on top of the CMOS battery. And I had two choices, wiggle the shit out of it and get it out of there without removing the big graphics card, or take my chances and remove the big ass graphics card. So I wiggled the shit out of it because clearly I went with the more difficult one. Got the CMOS battery out, flashed it, popped it back in, plugged it back in, and everything was fine.
I mean, did you have to expose yourself to a battery to...
Mm-hmm.
You flashed it.
I did.
Yeah.
It wasn't even, it's not even the back.
Or did you just like hike the skirt up an ankle?
The directions literally tell you to take a conductor and touch the two pins. And I'm like, everything I've ever been told about computers is don't fucking touch the pins. And it's like, you'll have two little nipples and you need to touch them with a conductor. And I'm like, this is going to blow up my whole house.
Well, it was fun living.
Yeah, and then I was like, well, and then I used a pair of fingernail clippers and I touched them and it was fine.
And now your hair sticks up straight.
I mean, I needed some help straightening this shit anyway. You see my emotes and how the hair is just like everywhere? Because that's what my hair is really like. It's unruly.
Just keep one thing in mind. You're the only one on this show with hair.
That is a good damn point. It's fine. I got enough for all of us.
Launch it. Launch that hair.
And if Tim were here, he'd still be the only person on this show with hair.
What about Norg?
Oh, yeah. Oh, if Norg were here, you would still be the only person with hair.
God damn. Was there like a casting call put out for the show where it was like, must be middle-aged white dude with no hair. And then y'all saw Pernell and was like, close enough.
And cold, then there was bloody me, cold.
And you were like,
damn. Jesus, cold.
Saw Pernell and said, close enough. Oh my God.
I thought we were friends. I know better now. Oh, mercy.
Wow.
What happened? Thought we were cool. Then I woke up and learned the truth.
So yeah, I fried my computer today, but I fixed it.
Well, now I don't care. I'm glad you fried it.
Man, fuck your computer.
You deserved it for saying that. Shit.
Also, Huber had nice hair.
Sometimes. When he grows it out, but he buzzes it a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, so it when depends
on... He had nice hair when I met
Chris
him.
Chris is sitting over here, like, mentally trying to find somebody on this podcast other than me that has hair.
I have a list. I'm going down
there. Jacob has hair.
CJ had hair.
Yeah.
Did he? Yeah.
Aki has so hair. There.
He has hair, we assume.
Possibly.
But, you know.
She could be a hairless ghoul. We don't know. It's not nice of us to assume that she is, you know, a normal female human being. She could be a mutant. We don't want to judge.
You know, we are open.
We're an inclusive show.
Yeah, you know, 47 middle-aged white guys, and then these two.
Hey, Serlina, she's another girl.
Yes.
Okay, there's three of you.
We've improved dramatically since I started the show, to be fair.
That's not a bad ratio.
It's not. It's perfectly not.
I think we're doing pretty good.
Plenty of other shows are like, we saw a girl once. And that was good enough for them.
I Googled boobs once.
Mm-mm-mm. Heart!
So... Pernell's not going to talk to me the rest of the night.
Did I hear a voice? I thought I heard somebody, but I it must have been the wind. Joe, is your window open?
Shit, it is.
Don't close it. That way I can keep hearing the wind on me. Oh, mercy.
So, Pernell, how was your weekend?
I had a tornado.
Chris, did you have a normal weekend at least?
Yes.
If we don't count the abduction, yes.
Yeah. I mean, since I got away.
Fine, normal.
Yeah. Well, if it happens every week, then that's normal, right?
They're just tenacious.
He's like, I'll get you next time, Gadget. Poor Chris.
Oh my god, this show.
I'm still slowly unpacking boxes and putting them in places. Like, now that all the stuff is here in this apartment, it's, you know, the slow process of, like, finding homes for everything. Doing it carefully so that...
You know the home. It's the basement. With all the boxes.
No, we don't have basements in Texas, Pernell. There are no basements in Texas.
So what happens when a tornado comes to you, just stick it on the roof and wave to it?
I mean, that's kind of how they do, yeah. No, for real, yeah, there's, I think it's something to do with the fact that, like, we're sitting on, you know, about 5 feet above impenetrable red clay at all times.
I thought it was a massive Indian burial ground.
It is, but that's the whole country.
Oof.
There you go. There's some dark political humor for you. Boom.
How come I got labeled the cruel one today, and Chris just throws that one out there?
Because you are the cruel one. Don't make this about me.
I can't shy away from the truth.
It's the truth.
But no, for real, like, when we moved here from, like, I briefly lived in Massachusetts when we did have a basement, and when we moved back to Texas, I suddenly realized, you know, nobody has anything below the ground here. It's just houses. Like, some people do, especially if they, like, live on a hill or something like that, they'll have something that's, like, a downstairs, but it's not, like, a proper basement. Like, you'll find, you know, just... anywhere north of here. Like, even Arkansas, they have basements, but they don't have them in Texas.
I love it. Like, even Arkansas?
Even Arkansas. Some places in Arkansas are just basements.
Even Arkansas?
There's some places in Arkansas that make it look like Cole lives in New York City.
Oh, you mean Arkansas?
Go ahead.
No, I was about to say, it just always throws me off when I come across the rare person that still refers to as Arkansas.
Arkansas. Not your Kansas, our Kansas.
Your Kansas is over there. That's the one with Topeka. We're the one with Little Rock, named after this small rock we found. No, but I do like the, I actually have been to the 1UP's neighborhood, and it's actually pretty nice.
Yeah, I like actually, Fayetteville.
I like Fayetteville, yeah. It's pretty cool.
The 1UP's neighborhood, hey?
Yeah, they're all from,
How many extra lives did you find?
From around Fayetteville, Arkansas. Huh?
I was like, how many extra lives did you find? You know I was going to do it. You know I was going to do it.
Man. Found him in the basement.
Can we hang up now? Have we, like, peaked? Is this it?
This show's a lost cause now.
No, it's not. In my defense, my terrible jokes would be a little less terrible if I weren't trying to fight a boss in this stupid game who's a damaged sponge and his stupid head face balls. I don't like it.
Face balls.
It's driving nuts. I'm like, oh, yeah, this shouldn't be too bad, you know. Come on, the end. Boss, I mean, this is a game where it's not rare for boss hit point totals to be like 900, like 90 to 100,000 or some jazz like that, like 200,000 hit points. This boss had 9999, four nines. And I'm like, okay, that's very low for this game. This should be a cakewalk. I've been fighting for like 40 minutes here because every attack I do somehow does like 50.
Jeez.
This is a chip battle of chip battles. This is insane, man.
Dang.
But I'm on it because I'm like, I'm going to win this shit. I want to beat a game this summer. It's going to freaking happen.
That's not how this I remember Baseball 2000 going.
Oh, no. You're thinking about the 2000. I'm playing Baseball 4000.
Oh, okay. The less celebrated sequel. Exactly. They didn't even bother to call it Super.
Adequate Baseball 4000.
Adequate Baseball 4000. That's I would play that game.
I think you're like the only person who would because everybody else skipped it. That's why it failed.
Well, as long as we like it, then it is adequate. It's not a total failure.
You're here to that. Sometimes just about us supporting titles, and we're all there. We're all that matters.
Adequate Baseball 4000. That is the show title.
Oh, good. I'm waiting for the segue where Joe says, speaking of adequate.
Speaking of 4000. Do bear computations.
Speaking of sport balls, sports and activities and fun activities and being active. And
balls and faces.
This is a horrible segue.
Joe is doing awful. Donuts with this segue.
Speaking of every word in the Merriam-Webster dictionary.
I wasn't ready for a segue. You guys were still talking, so you're like throwing me to the wolves here.
I beat the boss. Well, I just got 1,296,000 experience points. That's great. And I went up 5 levels per character. That's just
damn. Rupier's my jam and chat saying Fall Guys. Someone knows what's up.
Hey,
Fall Guys. So should we talk about Fall Guys?
Have you guys played it yet?
And some other games, too.
Yeah, sure. That's right. You're reviewing it tonight.
Yeah. First game to talk about tonight is called Fall Guys, developed by Mediatonic, published by Devolver Digital, released August 4th on PS4 and Steam for $19.99, and is available as part as a PlayStation Plus membership for the month of August. If you are a PS Plus member, get on that. Fall Guys is a massively multiplayer party game with up to 60 players online in a free-for-all struggle through round after round of escalating chaos until one victor emerges. Chris, tell us about Fall Guys.
All right, Fall Guys. So this is a this is basically like the tour de force du jour of August, of the first couple of weeks of August 2020 gaming.
Yes.
Yeah, in fact, I'm looking right now, 179,000 people are watching it on Twitch at the moment.
Holy and that's, hell.
I know, that's why they're not here.
Yeah.
Even though we're talking about it. But
All I have to do is change the game category to Fall Guys, and people will just come in here.
Yeah.
They'll pour in here and be like, this is the worst game of Fall Guys I've ever seen.
There's only one guy and he's not falling.
He's just there.
He's falling and he can't get up.
Why is he looking at me? He's ugly too.
There's a total shortage of hair here.
There's a cat. Why is there a cat? Well,
that is proper for Fall Guys, actually. So, Fall Guys, as a video game on the computer entertainment system, is a game. What? That's what it's on.
I don't know what's happening anymore. There's some laughs. Some words were said.
I can't believe y'all aren't
far off the rails.
Okay.
So. I think we're doing something right.
Okay. So, Fall Guys.
Fall Guys, yeah.
When you boot up your computer machine and then start playing this game, you have a kind of hub where you can change your appearance. Your guy is just kind of a blobular sort of thing, just like a little cartoon character for like somebody doing their like first year of art school kind of thing. Just like it's when somebody who doesn't draw becomes a webcomic artist. This is like the kind of character. It's just it's very
like a gelatinous orb.
Those are the anime chins here.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly.
If you're familiar with Human Fall Flat, the characters are very similar.
Oh yeah. For sure, for sure. And I'm going to draw comparisons to another similar game a little later. But yeah, so you select your thing and then you choose its color scheme from, you know, like just different wild, like, you know, bright colors that have corresponding names and stuff and patterns and all and whatnot. And that's basically all that you have initially. Everything else is unlocked, and we'll get back to that later. And once you like choose your character, then you play online. You can either play with your friends or you can just join a game. There is no single player at all in this game. It is only multiplayer. So whenever you choose your fate, then the game will drop you into a game populated by up to 60 other players. Now, fortunately, it doesn't force the 60 number. So if it puts you on a server where there's only like 50 people, it'll go ahead and start the game. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
And we'll get back to the servers. That's kind of a time related thing though, like a newness thing. Anyways. So once you get in, you know, it drops you in with all the other characters, then it chooses a game for you all to play. So there's basically two whole separate load screens to wait through for a game. And then all chaos ensues as you go through a certain kind of game. Like it'll pick from a pool of not too many for the first like game. They get a little different like as you scrape away the players. So let's say it's just an obstacle course where you have to go through like one of the most common ones is where you have to go through like these floating pool noodles, and then you have to like jump on these like platforms and stuff, and maybe the platforms might spin, or maybe there's doors involved that open and shut on a timer, or like bumpers or something. Basically, it's an obstacle course and everybody just goes in at once. Your only commands are to run, jump, or slide and grab. You can either grab a person or like a wall. And yeah, basically the goal is to get to the end quick enough that you are ranked high enough to qualify. Usually if there's like 60 people the first round, you'll need to be in the top 40. This actually is not easy to do, particularly now, like if you weren't there, like as soon as the gates opened, like people are getting better at these games because like I said, it rotates through a relatively small pool of levels. So as you keep playing, you actually get to learn these levels a little bit. And, like I went from going, I think I did four rounds in a row where I completely failed to even qualify for the seesaw level. And then on the fifth try, it just like, I was just running through it without even thinking. And I got third place. So, which is pretty nice. And yeah, as you, basically as soon as you qualify, provided that you do, you then go on to the next game, which is also randomly chosen. And then that will be the remaining pool, like those 40 characters that won the last game who didn't then quit for whatever reason, will then get to play through the next level. And then whoever wins out of that pool, like, then that slices more people off, and then those people get to play a game. And then the games, like I said, they get the pools change depending on how many people are left. And so, like, you know, like 12 people might be playing a soccer game where there's just these giant soccer balls that you just have to push into your area and then just have the most balls in your area when the time runs out. You know, like different little things like that. All the games are very simple. They're always explained in a single sentence and you just get it. Like, there's none of them have been complicated yet. And then, yeah, perchance, if you make it all the way to the end, then you are the winner. And you get, like, I'm saying winner with a question mark because I have yet to win. Same. And then, yeah. And then you get two different kinds of points. You get rank points, which are kind of like experience points. And then you get, like, basically money points. And so the rank points, you basically get different unlockables based on what rank you get. And those are always like, those are on a path. So it's like the first time you level up, you get like 500 of the money points. And then like the next time you get a costume, things like that. And the money points you can spend freely on like basically more costumes. And none of them really, I don't think, enhance the performance of your character, because the point of the game is to survive with, you know, 59 other completely identical bald blobs. It's kind of like podcasting. No.
Goodness.
Yes. Yeah. Surviving among the dozens of gelatinous,
you know, and we're freaks. Out of the top 60, we're hanging around, I don't know, like 73.
We might just be sitting here bumping our heads against one of the, one of the seesaws. But,
out of the top 60, we're guaranteed in the top 100.
Exactly, yeah. So, basically, there's a couple of things I really like in this game. One, of course, just, you know, the sheer madness. If you're playing with friends and streaming and things like that, which, you know, 179,000 people are enjoying that right now, just as we speak. Let's see, I'm going to refresh it. 182,000 now.
Jeez. because 3,000 people joined our stream.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're streaming about Fall Guys.
Because we're streaming Fallout Guys. Yes, of course. I said Fallout Guys.
Fallout Guys.
Crashing under pressure. Come on, man.
The newest game from Bethesda. It's the same as Fall Guys, but it's all gritty and extremely buggy. Anyways.
Shots fired at Bethesda.
Yeah, you know, that tiny indie dev. I'm sorry. I know my words make or break, like, gaming studios, but anywho's. So, yeah, there's a couple of things I really like. One is, of course, the mass pandemonium, especially if you're enjoying it with other people. I say this because I played it for about 2.5 hours just by myself, sitting in a chair and scowling. because I mean, that's just how I play games by myself anyway. But like, yeah, like there's a whole difference between like enjoying this game just by yourself and then enjoying it with other people. And the other people method is definitely like it's exponents more fun.
Yeah.
But you know, the nature of the game is such that you do kind of have to play it a lot by yourself, because in order to get any of those costumes, like when I was losing in the first round, which happened a lot, I mean, you know, you have a 1 in 6, you know, a 4 in 6 chance, 2 in 3 chance, I don't know, whatever, of like qualifying if you're good at the level. I mean, you know, because everybody else might also be good at the level. You're kind of depending on 20 like noobs being in there at the same time. But you get like, let's say, I think it's 15 currency or 15 experience points and like 20 currency points or something like that. It's a low number. Like to unlock just the featured costume, which is ninja, there's a ninja top and a ninja bottom. Every costume has a top and bottom. They're 7,000 points each.
Oh, my Lord.
So you got to get 14,000 points. And if you're not good at the game and you keep dying on the first stage, that's a lot of playing. So, like I said, I like the sheer pandemonium multiplied by like other people being there and being able to chat and laugh with other people. And I also like the fact that when you do fail, especially if you, like I said, are playing with other people, the game doesn't kick you out. It gives you the option to observe the rest of the match all the way up to the winner. You can just push the button to choose who you want to watch, and the camera just follows them. And the same thing is if you win and you qualify early and there's like still people on the board, the game just puts the camera on somebody else so you can watch them until you know everybody moves on. I kind of like that because like I said, if you're playing with friends, you can watch your friend sit there and play the rest of the round. I think that's really cool. And you know, like I said, that's whenever I did that at first, because I was testing it out, it's kind of funny because, you know, it was like round two or three. I don't remember. I think it was the soccer round. So it would have had to have been like round three or something. I was like, okay, well, I lost. I'm going to go ahead and watch, since I got, you know, kind of far in this game, I'm going to watch these other people. And the first thing the camera put it on was someone in a pigeon costume and someone in a chicken costume, and they were just like holding each other, just using the grab button to just hug it out. And I was like, oh, this is beautiful.
Oh my God.
They don't even know that. They don't even know I'm sitting here watching a pigeon. Anyways. So yeah, all kinds of chaos there. So then the things that I don't like about it, we can talk about. For one, of course, is the, there's a very, very high entry level to get into like changing your costume. Like, it's most likely that if you just have this game and you just want to play it and earn yourself some points and get like a nice costume, you're probably going to end up with like one. That's just going to be your costume. Everybody's going to be like, oh great, there's that one again, you know.
There's the hot dog again.
There's the hot dog. Yeah, that's my friend the hot dog with with a ninja bottom. Anyways, I was trying to remember another costume and I came up short because I was just thinking that somebody did have an Earl from Toe Jam and Earl costume and I was very jealous.
Really?
So I was like, yeah, I swear it was in there. I didn't look for it in the shop, so I probably should have, but it was an orangish, like, you know, top and then like the big Bermuda shorts bottom. So I really think it was Earl. Or somebody just was really good at like piecing together a convincing Earl costume. But yeah, either way, like, I feel like the entry point for that is a little high, for this game that is really, you know, like, the game's not substantial. Of course, there's no single player, there's no story, there's no like incentive to like keep playing it other than addiction and or if you have friends or an audience that really wants you to play it. Therefore, I really would appreciate if this game had like cheaper, you know, rewards earlier on. Just like, you know, just give people something.
Yeah.
Make them do the same game 100 times. Then the other side of that is, and this is the reason I think that Ninja Tops and Bottoms cost 7,000 points, is that of course you can purchase points as DLC in up to 50 real dollars increments, starting at 5. And that gets you, like, I think 11,000 points or something like that. It just basically gives you enough for, like, a costume or two. I think there's cheaper costumes, of course, than the Ninja one, but still. Yeah, it's very much that I think that they're doing the Fortnite thing and expecting people to, like, pay for, you know, the different costumes and stuff like that with real dollars instead of earning your paycheck, you know?
Yeah.
But that's just gaming nowadays. So, like, you know, that's not really a complaint. That's just something I personally was like, well, I'm not going to really pursue costumes then.
No, I know a lot of people say, well, that's not bad in a free game, but we have to remember that Fall Guys does have a $20 price tag.
Yeah.
Granted, they are giving it away for part of PlayStation Plus, but if you don't have Plus, you still have to pay $20 to buy it on PS4. Or if you want to actually own the game for good, you gotta buy it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, so, when your Plus subscription runs out, it's not your game anymore.
Right,
that's
right.
That's something I'm lost on, though. Like, to play that game, you might have said it just now, but I'm slicing things here.
yeah, to play it, you need Plus, I think, don't you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you need Plus, so to pay for it on PS4 but not have Plus doesn't make a lot of sense to me, since it's primarily a multiplayer online game.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is a good point. Like I said, it, you know, requires, I think it requires Plus either way, right? Because you need Plus to go online.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm of course talking about, well, I mean, I'm playing the Steam version. So of course the online is built in.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, it was a $20 game that, that I got. So yeah, I think that if they would have like given me like a whole bunch of points to begin with, so maybe I could choose my first costume, like maybe give me enough to like customize my character right out of the gate, that would have been really kind. And I wouldn't even had mentioned the DLC.
but they snap. Didn't.
Well, they didn't give you nothing. They like, it's zeros all across the board and like just, you know, colors basically for your character. Like, you know, not any like real costume that resembles anything. Well, no, they do give you two, actually.
You're a fall one guy now, but they gave you enough color to be a spring guy and a winter guy.
Yeah. Well, they give you a wolf costume and they give you another costume that I now can't remember. Another default costume. I bet you I could find it if I just looked at these other people playing it.
Probably the hot dog, isn't it?
No, it's not the hot dog. A couple
times I've seen people start off, I've seen the hot dog every time.
That's probably a really cheap costume. I bet you that it's really cheap. I haven't actually looked at it. I just looked at like some of them, and I was just seeing thousands, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's way. I do have another gripe I want to throw in, and this might just be because it's still a new game, but server stability is a huge problem. I have played this game twice, and every round that I have played, I've gotten disconnected.
Yes, that is another thing, is that, and you know, maybe the dev didn't expect this to be such a big thing, so they didn't realize, oh, this is, this game that requires 60 players at all times is going to break our servers. I don't know. I don't know how computers work. I just called it a computer entertainment system.
So, Christ, it's funny, like,
everyone I'm seeing on streams are either pigeons or wolves, but I know that the pigeon's not the other free costume. Anyway, okay, whatever.
It doesn't matter. We need a verdict on this. We've gone on too long with this. $20 on it. What do you think of it?
All right, $20 right now, right this minute, it is worth it. Like I said, server disconnects are a thing. They aren't terrible. Like, they won't crash. Well, in my experience, they didn't crash my whole game. They just like were like, oh, this server's busy, so, and then I just had to click it again. And I mean, you know, if you want to wait through two load screens every time you want to play a game that you might not be able to play for more than one level because you didn't qualify, I mean, that can be frustrating. The other thing that's frustrating, and this is the last thing, is that the controls like make it to where it's not the obstacles that are hard to get through, it's just jumping across a thing, or, you know, like not falling because everybody's crowding you, like kind of stuff. So the game is frustrating to play sometimes, so you have to look out for that.
I think that's intentional, though.
Yeah, that's intentional, but the jumps, man, I'm just like, I just want to jump from this thing to this thing, and I have to like make it a pixel perfect jump while everybody's running right past me. Anyways, whatever. Maybe I'm just bad at these kind of games. But yeah, no, I say if you're getting it right now, then yes, worth $20. Costumes are costumes. They don't do anything. They just make you look different. And if you want to spend the $5 to get your first custom like costume out of the gate, then go ahead and do it. This game, I don't know that it's going to last like too long unless they start adding more things to the game to like kind of make it a little different, or like just add some things. Because yeah, the game I just kept plugging myself into over and over and over again over hours, it really was just the same experience every time. It's just sometimes I had the good luck and sometimes I didn't.
Nah.
And yeah, if you're a streamer, then this is the bandwagon right now. So this is while you still got some time in August, go ahead and jump on it. Apart from that, as a game, it's an online party. I mean, it's just get in there with your friends and have a good time. If $20 isn't a thing for you, then it's good. But yeah, if you're going to wait on it, then make sure that there's still people playing it.
So no. That's my biggest concern with this game is if it keeps an audience. I know people are like, oh, I can't wait for the Xbox release. It's like it's like 4 days old and it's on PlayStation Plus. If it's coming to any other platform, it's probably not going to be for a year.
Yeah, and don't wait Sony's up on the
really
Switch.
Nice.
Don't wait for a Switch release either, because that'll be like 2 years from now, and the servers are never going to handle this.
I'm giving it about 6 months. for the Xbox release.
You think so? Way, you think it'll be that
quick? Yeah. Well, here's the thing. When my friend Pedro came out on Switch,
I'm happy for him.
And then it like, it, bruh. When it came out on Switch and they were like, oh, Switch exclusive. And then like, it was like 4 months. They're like, by the way, Game Pass. And you're like, okay, cool. So they've been really quick in getting the exclusives. They've been doing a really good job of exclusive for each console at a time, but it usually takes about 4 to 6 months before they're like, fuck it, y'all get it. So,
yeah,
they're
pretty quick about it. Devolver, by the way. We should mention that you're referring to Devolver and how they handle things. You just have to wonder if there's a different kind of contract involved with PlayStation Plus. How long did it take Rocket League to go otherwhere? Like a year?
I will say Rocket League is much more the game than this is, though.
Part of me thinks this is going to be the next Rocket League, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly
It's very possible that this could just become August's big thing, and then afterwards no one will care about it, but I'm pulling for this one. I hope it does well. I would love to see it hit other platforms. Hopefully we don't have to wait too long. But yeah, it's
for sure.
Everybody's gonna have Fall Guys by Christmas. I've decided it. It's what it is. It's all there is to it. You can't tell me otherwise. You're just gonna have to suck it up.
Okay, Santa Next Cole.
But I really can't wait to. I want to tell you otherwise. It's gotta happen.
I can't wait until we're all trying to figure out which episode number it was where we all placed our bets on Fall Guys. When it like topples like Fortnite is the biggest video game ever.
What the one were we talking about? Adequate Faceball. Oh, Adequate Faceball. That's why we named it that.
By the way, now it's 193,000 viewers.
Damn. Okay, we've spent like 25 minutes talking about Fall Guys. Next game to talk about is called Spitlings, developed by Massive Mini Team, published by Handy Games, released August 4th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $14.99. Spitlings is a chaotic action arcade game for 1 to 4 players, puts you in control of the titular Spitlings, charming rectangular creatures with teeth they can spit up bubbles or use to jump. Bernal, tell us about Spitlings.
This will be real quick. At least on the single player end. So, Spitlings is a game where Joe, as he described it best, so I'm just going to stick with that descriptor. He defined it as being a modern day Buster Brothers take. And I can kind of go with that for those familiar with Buster Brothers. For those who are not, but this game is a game where you are a little spitling critter who has a mouth that's full of teeth. And at the press of a button, you spit those teeth out. Like, that's literally what you do. You spit teeth out to jump. You spit teeth out to strike. And just frankly, you're just ditching your teeth. You would think it would be painful, but they seem to have fun doing it. So, more power to them, I guess. when you fire the teeth, they pretty much attack opponents. And in this game, your opponents are pretty much circular bouncing ball objects. Like, that is the opponent for the entire game. It's just variations of them, like... Usually they'll just be bouncing around, and when you hit them with a tooth, they might just blow up and die. Other times they'll actually break into smaller balls, which you didn't have to destroy anyway. But the overall premise is spit your teeth at the balls to break the balls and kill them as you go on from level to level, breaking balls with your teeth. Now, as you spray the teeth out of your mouth, the amount of teeth in your mouth actually decrease. That is the amount of quote-unquote ammunition you've got. And when you run out of teeth, you can't jump and you can't strike. So the way you have to actually replenish your ammo is by picking up the teeth you spat out of your mouth. Also, sometimes little balls will pop up that'll just be like replacement teeth, which when you really think about it, there's something to be said about games that take what would literally be very morbid concepts, but throw a bit of cuteness on top and it makes it all easy. Makes it go down easy. And I mean, let's be real here. Spitting your teeth out for fun and then just like putting some random tooth back in your mouth, that's just not wholesome. And I'm sure a major cause for a lot of like gum disease. But I digress. So in the single player mode, the way this game works is that you take your little spitling man and you go, it's like almost like you're kind of in a building and you're working your way from the top down. So you go from room to room, entering a, I guess, an arena, And the arena is a bit of a gummy verse, I'll just call it, where it's kind of like you're bouncing around on gums. And the bouncing balls are there, and you have to maneuver the environment, kill the bouncing balls, and get out of the level. And then once you've done that, typically you'll unlock a Spitling character, which you can use in either single player or multiplayer. And then you move on to the next room, eventually going to the next floor, and you just repeat, wash, rinse, repeat until the game is done. It's a very simple mechanic, but it's also a fun mechanic. So I guess the real hiccup there for single player mode is whether or not you feel as though this gameplay compels you enough to get through the entire game. But though I haven't gotten a chance to play it, though you guys did, which you'll talk about in a second, the multiplayer is supposedly where this game truly shines at and where the game will be made or broken for value. So what is the multiplayer like, guys?
The multiplayer is pretty much the same as the single player, but more chaotic by the fact that you have a second, third, or fourth person there with you. And in most multiplayers, if someone gets killed, you know, they go down and someone can go revive them or something else. Multiplayer, if anybody dies, everybody dies.
But it's kind of funny. I'm just picturing, like, at first I guess you can walk over and revive them. Like, how do you just, like, shove a tooth in their mouth? Like, get up!
No, because I kept dying a lot. And Joe was just like, damn it, Cole! And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Were you able to tell if it's the same levels as in single player, or is it a whole other set?
It's the same game. It's the same game. Oh, okay. You're just going through the same. I actually think it'll make some of the levels easier because what you didn't mention in the single player is they have you go through three levels until you get you rescue the Spitling. When you go back in, each of the three levels has a par time, and if you can match the par time on those, it opens another set of three levels with another Spitling that you can rescue. So there's basically double the game that's there, that's already big the way it is. But some of those par times I was having a hard time getting. And the only thing that I could think would make it any easier would be playing it with other people.
So. Actually, that does make sense too, because I've definitely come across games in my life where they are 100% designed with multiplayer in mind, despite there being a single player mode. And it's usually the part time element that makes that show up plain as day. So not necessarily a knock against it. It's just something worth noting if that's there.
No. The only gripe I could really see with this game that I have personally, I don't know if you have any issues or gripes with it. My bummer is that you cannot mix local and online play. There's basically a switch on the main menu that it's either local play with you and up to three other controllers or online play. You can't be and your friend playing online with someone else.
That does seem kind of lame when you factor in the style of gameplay this is. It's not like you have to split the screen or anything. You're all playing on the same image.
I really assume it's a technical thing.
That's true. Still saddening, though, technical or no. I was like, why would you do that? I want to spit teeth with my friend. As far as I go, like, I don't think of there being much of a gripe about it, per se. Like, if anything, my only real hiccup with it, which, again, is one of those scenarios where it's like a general personal preference where you just mention it so people listening to the show will know, is that the longevity will likely depend on how concerned you are with enemy variety, by which I mean the variety primarily comes from the stage layouts because you're always shooting balls with teeth.
Yeah.
So if the other type of person is going to be like, man, I'm so tired of gnawing these balls, well, there's a problem. But if you are the type of guy who would play like Buster Brothers, which
I hate when you get tired also, of gnawing balls.
Right? I know. It's just, wow. But like in Buster Brothers, that game had like a lot of stages, and that was the same premise. Aside from like those later remakes, you just fought balls. There weren't even bosses in the early versions of the game.
There were so many balls to gnaw.
That's right. Just gnaw time. But if you're okay with the fact that that's the game, because the game itself is colorful, they do a lot of cool graphical effects on the different levels, and the music is, I won't call it, it's not necessarily going to like blow your mind, but it's nice for the game as you're playing it. It delivers a lot of stuff like that. It's just a matter of how tired will you get of balls. And if you don't get tired of balls, I think this is a good pickup and play title.
Cool, then. $15, your verdict?
I would say it's a solid try. Worth your time if you can if the stuff that we said sounds like it's going to be good with my friends.
I can agree with you on that. If you're playing by yourself, I agree with like a recommended try it. If you have a friend to play it with online or local, I think it immediately bumps up to a buy it.
Yeah, the online is very important.
Yeah. Or just having someone else to play with. I think it just makes it that much more fun when you have someone to play with. And
just
if
having someone else to play with,
just
at
having
all.
Someone there.
Knowing balls is always more fun with friends.
Yes. Cole, any thoughts with your limited time with the game?
No, I was very put off by the realization that I was spitting teeth. Like I was like, oh, I'm throwing balls at them, and then I was like, wait a second, why am I out of balls? And I was like, wait a second, where'd all my teeth go? And then I was like, holy fuck, I've been spitting my teeth this whole time.
I need a dentist.
Yeah, I was just like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Cole, do you have access to the game right now?
I do.
Fire it up.
Uh-huh.
Load it up, go into a stage, spit all your teeth, and then hold the B button to get your teeth back. And I want to see your thoughts.
Oh, dear. Okay, hold on.
Are you in a match now?
No, I'm loading it up now. I had to turn the controller on.
You and your excuses.
I know it. Well, at least I didn't have to sync it. Usually it's been synced to the computer because I've been playing so much Horizon Zero Dawn that I can't do literally anything else right now.
If you don't like the fact that you're spitting teeth, just unlock some achievements, because unlocking achievements unlocks special spitlings. And like earlier, I was using a washing machine, and washing machine don't really have teeth.
But this one does.
I mean, a washing machine could have teeth if you have children and they've lost their teeth.
Now you're just getting creepy.
No, well, because here's the thing. Like, my kids, their teeth, they don't tell me they've got loose teeth because they're afraid of having them pulled. So they would lose it at school, and then school would put it in a baggie, and they'd put it in their pocket and bring it home. And then they'd put their school clothes in the laundry, and then I'd do the laundry, and then I'd be like, the fuck's a toothy? Oh.
The fuck's a toothy?
That kind of shit. I mean, you could have a washing machine that has a tooth in it.
Does the tooth fairy not visit your house?
The fuck's a tooth?
No, we don't do that shit. I'm poor.
Were you going to say we're atheists?
Well, that's also true. But no, I was like, we ain't got the money to just be going. And, you know how much money it costs to go and get money out of the ATM? Who the fuck does that? I ain't fucking with that.
Damn, rich people with their ATMs and their teeth.
Ew, the ATMs are expensive. Okay, spit on my teeth.
Yep.
And then press...
Hold the B button.
B. Oh, it just magically sprouts new teeth.
Imagine if that was how humans worked.
I mean, it's not entirely wrong.
Boink, 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 boink.
All right.
Have you ever seen newborns? Like, you put them down for a nap, and you wake up, and they got a whole mouthful, and you're like, the fuck happened?
Where'd those come from?
Fuck, we only do it once. Or, like, technically twice, and that's it.
What Purnell just said about, like, I thought that's how humans worked, like, that they just instantly grow back teeth after spitting them out. I hope that's not true, because I just paid $600 to have a tooth pulled. I don't want that thing back.
Yeah, but if you grew it back, it would be a tooth that actually doesn't need to get pulled again. It'll be a non-cavity.
It would need to get pulled again.
Yeah, then it'll grow back, you'll be smarter, you'll be happier. I mean, it just makes sense.
One of my wisdom teeth was, like, impacted, and they had to break my jaw to get it out.
Ew. Yeah, fortunately, they didn't have to do that with me, but they did have to, like, take the... I'm not even going to get into it.
It's terrible.
The idea behind that messes with me by itself. Like, yeah, we got to break your jaw to get in there. Like, what? Yeah. Like, well, okay, and stand still. We're going to punch you in the face.
They were like, yeah, it's impacted. And I was like, cool, get it out. And they were like, okay. And then when I woke up, they were like, oh, we had to break your jaw. It was in there a little worse than we thought. I was like, gee, thanks for the heads up.
You signed your permission away. Like- wait a minute. Wilfred, what's he doing? Wilfred is eating my mail.
That's good kitty.
Kitty, stop that.
I just realized we're 45 minutes into the show and we've talked about two games.
And one cat.
I did mention Horizon Zero Dawn.
Did you?
So technically three. I did.
Well, now you did again.
Yeah.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Next game to talk about is called Escape from Tethys, developed by Whimsical, published by Sometimes You, released August 12th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $9.99. You're trapped alone and cold on a distant planet, pursued by a droid with only one purpose, killing everything. You must find an escape, explore the hostile environment, find secret upgrades and new weapons, and finally make your escape from this dark, hostile planet. Chris, tell us about this one.
All right, Escape from Tethys. So this is a game that is in the exploration adventure genre category. I'm just kidding. The people never call it that. It's a Metroidvania. But this one is definitely, I mean, it's like, it's like Metroid. It's like there's no vania to it at all. It's very much like a kind of a take on the lone explorer with a gun on a planet, killing everything and getting secret items in order to get off the planet. So, you are a guy? We don't know. We know that the year
the conviction in your voice with that decision.
Yeah. You're a weapons scientist, but I think the game intentionally left your gender vague, because you're just a person in a suit with a gun. A big, big old arm cannon gun, too.
I think I'm referred to as guy.
Guy? And, yeah, that actually hurt my neck to, like, try and get my voice that high. So you basically get deposited on this planet. And, like I said, there's basically no story. The only things... like, occasionally you'll run into a little computer where you can access, like, kind of a journal log of a prior science team that was on that planet. And they'll kind of describe things for you, and they'll sort of, if there's some apparent danger, they'll be like, there was an apparent danger here. And then, you know, they basically walk around, like, these different environs and try to find the nearest save room, because that's how these things go. Of course, you got a nice map system, and you do have directional shooting. You have a whole two directions that you can shoot in, that is left and right, and then up. And like I said, basically you start off with a secondary weapon that's like this really powerful straight-ahead beam, and as you go through, if you find these other weapons, then they like, basically there's like different ones that do different things. So, you know, you get like, other weapons in up to and including the one weapon that you're ever going to use again. And that is one that incinerates the entire screen. And, the other, like, basically everything feeds off of the same ammo count. So, like, as you get new weapons, you're basically going to be using them instead of your old weapons, because they typically are more powerful. And like I said, it's the same ammo pool. So, you know, and you start with like three bullets. So you're not going to use your secondary weapon too much initially, but, you know, it gets up there. And then your life bar starts at a healthy 10. And every time you find another life bar, it goes up by 2 points. Pretty consistently. So this is a kind of game where you're doing a lot of exploring, because it's not super clear where you're supposed to go, and the game really will let you just go anywhere until you reach, you know, of course, the obstacle where you're like, oh, I need to get a double jump to get over this. And here's the thing. I cynically have a system when it comes to Metroidvania games where I kind of judge them based on how quickly you get a double jump.
Okay.
So for Castlevania games, it's usually like immediately, like it's the first thing you get is a double jump. For like Metroidvania games of this ilk, it's usually pretty quickly. Ninja Smasher is one of my favorite, sleeper 3DS hits. And, you get it. Like, it's actually closer to halfway through that game. In this game, you actually have to fight two whole bosses before you get the double jump. And prior to that, you do get the dash jump. So, which, if you're familiar with Mega Man X, it's where you can, like, do a kind of slide in the air to, like, move straight across while you're jumping. And, then that's where I kind of realized that, like, really, the only thing that ever inhibits your progress in this game is just not having the correct, like, movement things, because there's, on top of a double jump and that dash jump, there's also a, like, a wall climb, like, a Ninja Gaiden style wall jump kind of thing. And, you know, really, like, the weapons are just about optional. Like, you just go and find them. But you have to, like, actually fight bosses and, like, you know, move the story along to, well, the story such as it is, in order to get, like, the new jumps. But yeah, like, basically, the graphics are very, very small. The, like, which is good. I mean, it's an exploration game, so you're mostly seeing, like, the landscape. Such as it is. And then, of course, the enemies on screen, which are persistent and occasionally pretty difficult, especially if you're just relying on your pea shooter because you've used all, you know, three of your special bullets already, until, of course, the point where you get the incinerate everything on the screen thing, which is so good. I can't even recommend it enough. So yeah, like, basically, I kind of expected it to follow, like, because I'm used to Metroidvania games, like I most recently played like Gato Roboto and things like that. And even Ninja Smasher, where it's just like, you know, there's a plot that you kind of have to follow. And like the game's kind of gently guiding you into the next area with like a boss fight or an encounter or something like that. Not in this game. You spend a lot of time just unlocking blocks on a map until you finally find the boss. I actually think that's kind of cool because it really, provides that isolated experience that, you know, we experienced in the first Metroid game, which, you know, the first Metroid game takes forever to actually find a boss. You know, like, that was a huge event in that game. It could go for hours and hours. And so I like that this game is, like, pretty faithfully recreating that. I mean, that's either to its detriment or a item of praise. Either way, it's I like it quite a lot.
Nice. Well, overall, $10 on it. What are you thinking?
$10. I think it's a pretty cool romp. It's aesthetically, I like the music a lot more than the graphics. And, you know, because the graphics are very small, like I said, but they could do with making the backgrounds more interesting. For instance, like, I spent an hour walking around and the entire background is just a pile of rocks. But, you know, it's whatever. And I actually really do like the soundtrack to it. Although I will say, as fast as the boss fights are, like, the boss fight music has, like, a minute of slow burn, like, synthy stuff before the beat actually drops. And every single time the beat dropped, I just defeated the enemy. It was every time. I was like, I gotta, like, actually sit here and dodge attacks to listen to this whole, like, song, because it's actually kind of a jam. But so I'm actually gonna seek out this soundtrack independently of the game, because I actually want to hear this stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, $10. I mean, this is, you know, for an exploration type game like this, that's a pretty good price point for sure. Definitely scratches that Metroidvania itch, although don't expect it to be like an epic experience, like a Hollow Knight or something like that. Or what was that one game, Super Epic, that we all love so much?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like on that level, but it is nice. And like I said, it definitely caters more to the 8-bit fan than the like 16 and up bit fan type of retro junkie.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, gonna give it a buy it for the true retro crowd, let's call them.
Nice.
Retro.
What was that for now?
Retro crowd.
Retro.
Retro. True retro.
That's right.
True retro.
Got to combine two words to make it sound like one cool
thing. Retro. I thought you were doing like a Scooby-Doo. Retro.
I was thinking it sounds like an 80s action star, like Danny Turetro.
Well, it is now. Shit. Yeah. You can't let that go.
Starring Danny Turetro.
Danny Turetro, starring in Seasons of the Samurai, developed by Francis Malka, published by Top View Studio. Released July 31st on Xbox One for $9.99, lead a samurai through a series of puzzles set in 8 provinces of Japan, control the season and time of day in order to change the configuration of each level, allowing the samurai a safe passage to the next level. Purnell, tell us about Seasons of the Samurai.
All right, Seasons of the Samurai is a little puzzle game where the idea is that it's broken up into, like you said, the Japanese provinces, and each Japanese province has a small number of stages attributed to it. And when you start the level off, you are presented with a different sort of puzzle. Well, correction. Let me start that off differently. Each level, you're presented with the task of getting the samurai from one end of the level to the other end of the level. And the levels are always broken up by hexagonal platforms. And you press the control pad to go step one step at a time. Now, on these levels, the different there's a different number or type of obstacles that may lie in your way, whether it be platforms that are at different levels that you can't, you know, just walk across because there's no jump button. So the platforms may be like at different levels, or you might have like ledges that are like kind of like moving platforms and such. So they don't necessarily move on their own, though. Instead, they move by way of you flipping a button to alter the season. So each season is attributed to one of the face buttons on the right side of the controller. And when you press one of those buttons, depending on if that season is available on that stage, something will happen. To give you an example, let's say there's a level where it's just a bunch of platforms that rise and lower. You press a fall in the middle of winter, and the platforms will go either up or down depending on what the sequence is programmed for them to do when you press that season. And then other times you'll press, you know, like summer, and then the platforms move in a different way. On other levels, you might also get day and night cycling, which is attributed to the cross pad up and cross pad down buttons. And when you press those buttons, similar logic. So what ends up happening is you find yourself on a level, and depending on the number of buttons made available to you, you're trying to determine the proper sequence of configurations to get you from one end of the level to the other. And you have a limited number of moves with which to get to the other end of the level, or you die. So the idea is that, for example, you might be like, get to the end of the level in 30 moves to just get a normal clear. But you get to the end of the level in like 10 moves and you get a gold ninja star, which I don't know. You know me. I didn't get them all, but I was sure as hell trying. So now here's the thing about this that bugs me to no end, because the general on paper and by description and from playing it initially, I like the idea behind this. I like the idea of state changes being based on player input. However, here's the hiccup. So at the beginning of every level, before you make your first move, you can press every season button and day and night button as many times as you want to your heart's content without penalty. However, once you take your first step, the game starts counting. Every time you press a button, every time you take a step, the counter goes up. So what happens is, if you're the type of person who isn't all that concerned about goal times and just not dying, I would say they're fairly generous with the number of moves you can get before passing. So you can go out there and kind of fumble dumble and just kind of work your way through. Now, obviously, you can't just like do it like just blindly, because you will run out of turns and you will lose. But you can, you know, work it through puzzly like. However, in the event you're trying to go for a gold star, the downside is that, from what I could tell, and if the developers listen to this and I missed a very important element, let me know. But aside from actually memorizing what every season button press does, there's no indication that, say, these platforms are affected in this manner by the spring button press, or these platforms work in this manner at night compared to day. It's literally just press a button, watch what they do, press a different button, watch what they do, and then eventually come up with an order sequence of button presses to go. I got to go up, then down, then circle, then square, then X, then B, then whatever. And you're ultimately trying to memorize a sequence of buttons. It's less about solving a puzzle and more about memorizing a sequence of buttons, if that makes sense. It decreased the fun factor of going for a gold star. It kind of turned it into just like a rote memorization game.
No.
And in that regard, I was kind of like, meh, not so good. So that ends up resulting in a bit of a split on the review. Oh, one thing I need to add also is, like, some levels will have a present box on there, and you can try to go for that before exiting the stage. And if you open the present, you'll get a panel that will open up one spot on a multi-panel photo where, of course, you finish doing it, you unlock the cool image. Now, back to the other point. that creates a bit of an interesting divide in how I would feel about this game, because it really truly depends on what kind of puzzle gamer you are. If you are a genuine, bona fide, casual, I only like using this term, but it's, I think it's appropriate here. If you're a genuine, bona fide, casual puzzle game player, and you're just in it because you want to just, you know, putz around for a bit, you know, solve the puzzle and go, yay, I did it, then I would honestly give this game a buy it rating. But if you're the type of person who likes to go for high scores, get all the gold stars, then it takes a bit more of a dive, because, I mean, you might be different from me. You might be cool with the idea of, like, you know, memorizing the sequence and running the maze. But I was not that guy. So I would put this on a very low try in that regard, specifically because it wasn't kicking it for me in that element. No. If there was some way to puzzle out the stage while doing the stage without penalty, I would be fine with it. I'll admit that in some aspects, if you could do that, that might make the game essentially too easy, in a sense, because if you could go to just like one, any space on the board and just like mash the button to no end, yeah, of course you could solve the puzzles. But that's where the visual indicators come in. There should be something that gives you an indication of where this platform will be at a certain season, at least a certain season, not every season, but at least one, yeah, to help you kind of break it through. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. So,
oh well.
Me, you know me, Captain Picky Fans.
I don't get you, Purnell. You say words and they confuse me.
Apple rattles apple.
Exactly. All right, next game to talk about is called Rogue Cube, developed by Bipolar Dawn. Haha, words, I can read them. But yeah, Rogue Cube, developed by Bipolar Dawn, published by Rattlelake Games, released August 4th on PS4, 5th on Xbox One, 7th on the Switch for $4.99. Pick your cube and blast your way to victory in Rogue Cube. Chris, tell us about it.
All right, so Rogue Cube is the second shooting game starring living cubes that I have gotten to review. The other being Zarvot, a game about cubes. but this one could not be more different. It is a retro style, you know, sprite art kind of twin stick shooter. Which is also, of course, a roguelike. It's right there in the title. And it is a true roguelike in the sense that, every time you start a new game, you are starting, with random levels and with, you know, just a pistol for loadout. There's no way to change that, which is funny enough. Like, it's been a while since I played a proper, like, roguelike like that. And, you just have your cube. You, have an initial, set of three cubes to choose from: blue, orange, and purple, each with their own special, unique abilities. Not really. they all shoot the shooty shoots, but, they have like different, your blue guy is just your normal. It's the control group. The orange has less ammo, but better aim, because there is an auto aim feature. And the purple one does three times the amount of damage to enemies, but himself has only half of the amount of hits that he can take. He, she, or it, actually. They're cubes. They have no personalities either, so wrong of me to assume. But yeah, you basically run around these stages. You start off in a verdant green, like bushy kind of like stage where you shoot other cubes that also have guns. And then eventually you move on to sandy beaches where there are also cubes with guns. But this time there's also like sea creatures, like these spongy things. They're also cubes though, but they don't have guns. And then you can move on finally to a kind of red area that has cubes with guns. Anyways, so you keep doing this until you die, and then you start the entire game over. So that's basically the thing. There's like, it gives you a map of like all the stages that there are, I suppose. It's 11 of them, and indeed the game's copy does say that there are 11 exciting levels to explore. And occasionally you will find a boss. The bosses are well, there's four of them, so they're just kind of interspersed in there. And if you can beat two of them, then that will probably get you all the trophies in this game. Although this is not a very easy trophy game, I should say right away, with, you know, because Radalika, I think they're onto us now. because the trophies, they're not so easy to get.
They're onto us. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, you do have some gimmies, like complete a level without opening any chest. There's chests all throughout the levels that give you your different guns and other weapons. And yeah, sometimes heal your life and stuff like that. But yeah, if you just defeat all the enemies, you can just exit the stage. And I actually accidentally did that because the game populated one stage with only three enemies and one chest that I couldn't get to because as soon as the exit opened up, I got sucked into it. So I accidentally got that achievement.
Wow. I have actively been trying to get that achievement. But if you shoot the chest, it opens.
It opens.
Yep. And if it's off screen, you can still hit it and not even know it's there. And that's what I keep getting fucked over by. I'm like trying to shoot the enemies. And I'm like, what did I even hit a chest? And then it'll be like way off screen that I didn't see.
Yeah, you kind of have to luck out on the stages. So beyond that, oh, and by the way, the weapons, that's where this game kind of shines is because it does feature 37 of them. And while some of them are just your basic shooty shoots, like, you know, you got your pistol, you got a pistola. No, I'm just kidding. You have like a pistol that shoots bullets. You got like a plasma gun that shoots plasma, you know, like just one shot at a time kind of stuff. But then you get like the assault rifle that shoots three bullets at a time, or the shotgun that shoots a whole bunch of bullets, although you have to watch your ammo on that one because each bullet counts as a bullet. So like, yeah, you basically run out of bullets way faster than you think you're going to.
The triple crossbow is OP.
The what?
The triple crossbow.
Oh, I haven't gotten that one yet.
Yeah, it's OP. I mean, it eats up your ammo, but it's OP.
Well, I'll tell you what. What I ended up doing for the most part to get the most progress in this game, selecting purple and then getting a melee weapon.
Yeah.
Because melee weapon at 3x damage, because a melee weapon such as a frying pan or a stick
or a broom.
Or the broom. They all have like subtle differences, by the way. They're not exactly the same weapon, but, you know, they kind of are. But the melee weapons like sweep this giant arc in front of you or kind of around you. And that arc not only hits enemies, it deflects bullets, which, by the way, a deflected bullet can hit an enemy and actually kill it.
And so isn't you can, that like, an achievement?
Is it? Let me look. I actually have the trophies right here.
Thought it was, unless I'm thinking of a different game.
If it is, then I definitely got it. Let's see. Hit an enemy returning a bullet with your melee weapon, the home run, which, yes, I definitely got that. Apparently on the first day I played it, according to PlayStation. So, yes, definitely there. And you get a there's six characters that you can unlock, and they all have powers, too. I have not unlocked all of them, but, you know, like I did unlock the ninja, which is a character that is only melee. He can't pick up any other weapons. But he can teleport. Like the other button besides, you know, the right triggers for shooting is the left triggers are for doing your special power, which for the blocks is most, or the cubes is mostly just like dodging out of the way. But the ninja can straight up teleport. And then, I just unlocked Sam too, which looks like, Samuel L. Jackson.
Nice.
And he, more damage with bullet weapons, doesn't like melee, bullet wave. Oh, okay, cool. I actually haven't played with him yet because I just unlocked him while we were talking.
Nice.
But yeah. So, yeah, this really, and the other thing is that if you don't like the random mode per se, like you don't like starting the same, you don't like starting randomly every single time, then there is actually a daily mode, which has a fixed set of levels, but it changes every day. So if you prefer daily mode, then you can like actually keep going into the same adventure and getting through, like actually plan out like how you're going to do things or just straight up memorize it if you like. And then, of
is
course,
it the same. I thought for the daily ones, it was just a completely brand new one every day.
Yeah, I think it changes or it's a new one every day. Well, I mean, how long are they going to keep up with that, though?
Yeah, true.
But I mean, I only played it for a few days, so like, and each time it was different. I don't know if that's from a fixed set of levels or if that's just if they're doing that every single day. I don't know. They don't say. But yeah, like daily is for if you want to like actually, you know, test your skills and try and get as far as you can on a fixed level thing, which is great. I loved it in Toe Jam and Earl and I like it here. And then of course there's also a versus mode, which leads me to the fact that all of these modes are up to 4 players. So you can have a nice couch co-op time when you're allowed to be around humans again, or if you're lucky enough to actually live with 3 other people who want to play video games with you, if they're like $5 Rattalaika games. I mean, that's pretty sweet. I envy that life.
Nothing's wrong with $5 Rattalaikas.
Oh no, nothing is wrong with them. It's just like 3 other people that want to play it at the same time. Like,
you never know.
In this economy?
In this economy.
So yeah,
$5. What are your thoughts? What's your verdict?
It's an easy buy it. This is an easy buy it. It's really fun. It's really fast. It looks good. It plays good. I mean, you know, it's got its little hiccups here and there, but it's a $5 Rattalaika game. Come on. It's good. Like, pretty much like everything they do. I definitely, like I said, the thing I like the most is that it has unlockables that are pretty easy to get. I like that it offers a daily mode, and I'm sure that multiplayer is just fine. It looks fun on screenshots.
Cole, any thoughts?
I was surprised that it was a little more difficult. Even when Rattalaika releases roguelikes, they're usually still pretty quick completions. Like, they know. They're like, even if it's a roguelike, they're like, it's 15 minutes. Just give us 15 minutes of your time.
I actually have one thing I would argue on that one game that I would definitely argue, because it was super hard.
There's been a couple.
Yeah.
But in general, they're just in general, they're like, 15 minutes, you're good. So I was a little surprised that it was like, holy shit, they went hardcore roguelike and was like, no, you start this shit over and you don't get the achievements until you get good. So, but I can respect it too. I was like, you know, that's how a roguelike should play. And that's what I expect when I load up a roguelike. So I'm okay with it. I was impressed at how solid of a roguelike it is. I play a shit ton of them. I'm a pretty good judge of good ones and bad ones. And I was impressed that, you know, for its price point, it does a good job.
All right.
Heck yeah.
Well, we're going from Rogue Cube to Hard Cube.
Oh. Rogue Cube!
It's like its own block.
The cube block.
I'm hanging up by...
All right, next game to talk about, final game to talk about tonight, is called Hard Cube, developed and published by Big Way Games, released August 7th on Xbox One for $6.99. In this fun and exciting game, you won't just have to get to the finish line, you'll need to overcome a lot of obstacles while exploring this colorful world, going through one level after another. Purnell, tell us about Hard Cube.
Hard Cube's a hard-ass game. A hard game filled with hard cubes.
I mean, it is called Hard. It's not called Easy Cube.
I mean, I guess it's not called Easy Cube. So, I mean, that's
I 110% want to play Easy.
But anyway,
adequate cube. Yeah,
request it for us, Joe.
Adequate cube. Oh my god, and I want to play it. But Hard Cube is exactly as it sounds. If you're familiar with games like Marble Madness from back in the day, you'll be right at home with this game, where the premise is that it's pretty much a freaking tennis ball, but you're a tennis ball and you are trying to get from one end of a level to the other. And in a way, blocking your exit is a number of jumps and obstacles and various other BS garbamagob that is preventing you from reaching your goal. And you will die a lot in your attempts at reaching it. Your controller consists of the cross pad to roll and the jump button to jump. And the things you're typically dodging are things like explosive mines and like those push pedals push bars that exist in like American Gladiators will kind of push you off the side of a ledge by protruding from the wall or the ceiling. And crumbling blocks and all sorts of other little doodads, but primarily those things. So
I just want to appreciate that we got an American Gladiators reference in 2020.
Damn right. If I have anything to say about, we'll get one every year. Find a way. you know, RPG, oh yeah, you gotta run the freaking, gotta get up on the platforms and do that whole jousting thing like an American Gladiator. but like in this game, unfortunately, there's no jousting, but you are getting smacked in the face with the poles that could have been a jousting. And, so you're trying to get from one end of the level to the other. And at the end of the stage, you are given a score based on how, well, I won't say how quickly, because there are two modes, but I'll get to that in a second. By your default mode, which is just like kind of the for fun mode, your score is based on the various objects you pick up on the way to the goal. So depending on the world you're in, of which there's about four, you will get an object. There will be an object that's littered on the world that is worth points and is themed to the world. So the first world will be umbrellas and the second world will be hats because it's like a Western world themed world. But you'll basically have objects to pick up and each one is worth a small bit of point. At the end of the level, they'll give you points based on that. If you do the other mode that's available, which is like a timed mode, each level will time you to get to the end of the level. So basically you have a limited amount of time to get to the end. And when you reach it, you'll get points based on both the objects you pick up, as well as the amount of time left over on the clock. I personally play with the time mode because why the heck wouldn't you? I mean, the game's hard enough as it is by virtue of its existence. Why do half the challenge?
Because I suck. Hard Cube.
Well, the game is called Hard Cube. Like, if you're coming into this game not expecting a challenge, I don't know what to tell you. But I will admit, there is one bit of a reason why I could picture wanting to do that too, which is that some of the levels will have multiple routes. And on those multiple routes, there will be more than, there'll be objects on both routes. So if you're the type that's like, I just want to get every object on a stage, you probably won't be doing that on some of the levels on the timed mode by virtue of the fact that it is literally impossible to do on some of the levels in time mode. Your goal will just be to get to the end of the level, getting as many of them as you can, and the allotted routes you'll have to chart to get there. At the end of a level, when you've beaten all the tiles, there's like, I don't remember the amount of levels, it's like 8 to 10. I can't remember the exact number, though. But when you get to the end of a world, and you'll move on to the next world, but the scores you've been getting on each individual level will tally up to make a total score for that world itself. So it's kind of a good way to be like, okay, I want to go for the high score here, but to do that, I want to improve my time on this level, which is where I seem to have done the worst or whatever. There's no like 3-star or 3 MacGuffin thing like a lot of these games typically have. So you don't really get an indicator of how, if you did your best or not. You just know, this seems like I could do better, so I'm going to go back and try it. But for the most part, that is literally the game. You are rolling a marble tennis ball, I'm still calling it tennis ball, through levels, dodging obstacles, and trying to get to the end before the time runs out, because I'm not playing another mode. Now, the only gripe I had about this, of which there are two, again, these are like just personal gripes, not necessarily like make or breakers, is that one, the music in the game is just kind of like a loop, like a small loop of like 2 or 3 tracks that plays. It's very soft music, nothing that's particularly memorable. It's just enough to kind of play over the environment so you're not playing in quiet. It doesn't really get me pumped. And the music itself is reused across the worlds. So you don't, like, say, get to Western World, go, oh, boy, here comes, like, a ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding country vibe or Wild West or anything like that. It's just, here's the same music you heard on the Flying Islands level. So it's like, yeah. And as you know, and I think a lot of other people like that, too, where sometimes you'll go into games, you're like, I look forward to what the music's going to sound like on the new world I unlock. But in this game, world unlocks are essentially different colored platforms and background image change. The other gripe I have, but that's more of just getting used to the game itself, is that jumping can be finicky. So if you're trying to get a good time, you're jumping from platform to platform, and those platforms are like 1 square large, you pretty much are in situations where you have to kind of break in the air to kind of slow down and land and then resume momentum and jump again. Because if you try to just hold forward and then jump again, I can't tell if it may be just me being a suck-em-a-bup, but from the perspective I was playing at, the game's reaction time, so you double jump, it just doesn't happen. So you almost have to jump, stop, and then jump again. And what that means is you're going to die a lot. There was an achievement for getting like 15 deaths in one level. I got that on like world 3.
Jeez.
So it was pretty freaking sad. But at the same time, given like I mentioned about the jump controls, I don't feel bad about it. That's how lay of the land, as it were. So overall, I would say, I had fun with the game, but I'm also a masochist. So take that for what you will. If you are not a masochist, in the sense that you want to deal with like that weird jumpy, the jump controls, the, you know, stillness or stiffness that I was talking about before, this may not be up your alley. But if you like Marble Madness and you like games like you like that, or like those kind of platform, floating platform games, but with a marble or tennis ball, and you can deal with that jumping, then I would honestly call this a buy it title as opposed to a try it. Because again, I don't think there's a lot of like games like that these days. There's like the, every once in a blue moon, an indie game will pop up where it's like get to the goal as this marble thing at the same, at the, in the right amount of time. But I don't think that's very common these days. So I had fun with this and I think it's worth a shot.
Yeah, I had fun with it too. And $7 is a good price for it.
Yeah. But it deserves more than the fuck it. Why not? Let's go hardcore buy.
Sounds good. Works for me.
Whew, that's close. I'm so sweaty.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Surprisingly brief in the second half. You guys had me worried. In the first half, it was going long. Then we turned it around. We kept it under 90 minutes.
I got to admit, you had me for the first half, but then the second.
Yeah, they got us in the first half. But yeah,
I actually beat the game by the end of this episode, too. So I'm proud of myself. I don't beat games very often. So I'll take it for what I can do.
All right, now we're over 90 minutes. We took too long.
Will-O-The-Wisp.
Mm-hmm. All right, music this episode. Chris, you mentioned hanging out in the 1-Ups area, so why don't we play some 1-Ups?
Yeah, I love 1-Ups.
Do you have a request?
Well, I have been suddenly requested. God, I'm trying to remember. Did they ever record Silence from F-Zero? I saw them play it live, and I don't remember if I picked up that album or not.
Don't know what F-Zeros they've done. Because they've done so much music. Like, they have so many friggin' albums.
Yeah, they've come out with like three albums since the last time I listened to them. Let me try and find it.
They're nuts. Quick. I don't know. We'll find some from the 1-Ups. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Play your game to completion, but if you don't feel bad. There's too many games and not enough time, so you want to experience it all. So just play to your heart's content and then move on.
But play Ori.